You remember from your study of ancient history that the fifth emperor of the Roman Empire, Nero, when Rome had become a cesspool of the empire and everybody was flocking to Rome, he ordered that the ghettos be burned. And then when the populace pinned it on Nero, he accused the Christians of setting fire to Rome, and of course that introduced a bloody persecution. It was at that time that the epistle to the Hebrews was written, and the serenity of this book, mid all the confusion that was going on, is truly remarkable. Evidently, the Christians in Rome said to themselves, if now Christianity has become a forbidden religion, and if I must die because I confess that I am a Christian, why not simply go back to the Old Testament and simply rely on the promises of God in the Old Testament? And the writer of the Epistle to the Hebrews answered this question. And he said, you can't go back, because the great high priest, who was typified by Melchizedek and who was the fulfillment of the Levitical priesthood, especially the Day of Atonement, on which day the high priest entered the most holy place to make atonement not only for his sins and for the sins of the people, which was the once, and Christ was the once and all fulfillment of that Levitical priesthood. He says, you can't go back. You can't go back. For since Christ has fulfilled all, if you go back to the Old Testament, that is a total denial of even the faith in the Old Testament and amounts to apostasy. Such were the conditions in the empire. But more than that, the epistle to the Hebrews, most scholars think, was written in the year 64. And as you remember, 5 years later, Vespasian, with his sons Titus and Domitian, was on the march with 30,000 trained and good soldiers to lay siege to the city of Jerusalem. But that was a terrible year. That was the year in which Rome had no less than three emperors, all of whom were assassinated. Now, can you imagine three presidents being assassinated in 1 year? That's what happened. Otho, Vitellius, and Gall were each placed on the throne by a legion, and then another legion would come along and assassinate him. And the Senate, in desperation, recalled Vespasian, a tough Spanish soldier and statesman, to become emperor and to bring order out of this chaos in the empire. The point I am making is that there was nothing but confusion and fear. Christianity had become a forbidden religion. They would die if they would confess the name of Jesus. And that's what our text is all about. But how can you be sure that you are a Christian? Our text tells us that by his blood, the Son of God entered the most holy place and made atonement for our sins. He has opened a new and living way, which he inaugurated for us through the veil that is his flesh. And therefore, we have a great high priest over the house of God. Now, the verse that I want to apply. Let us draw near with a sincere heart in full assurance of faith, having our hearts sprinkled clean from an evil conscience and our body washed with pure water. Where is the Holy of Holies? In the hearts of men. In the hearts of men. The Holy of Holies is where you have true faith, a clean conscience, and a genuine heart that is assured of faith in the great high priest. That's where you have the Holy of Holies. Now, the writer of the epistle mentions that some of these people had suffered willingly the confiscation of all their property. But he says, you've not yet suffered under blood, Evidently, the crucifixions had not yet taken place, but they were facing these people. Now, the writer of the epistle does not say, "Oh, I hope you won't have to die. Oh, I hope you won't have to be imprisoned." All he says is, make sure that you know what the Holy of Holies now is. And you do know if you have a conscience free from blame and a heart which is right with God. Shortly before his death, the Lord Jesus said, "I have not come to cast peace on the earth, but division." Now, what did he mean by that? He didn't mean that he hadn't come to bring peace, because God wants every heart to be at peace with God. But what he meant was that God does not give the kind of peace which we want, an undisturbed and serene life. And he says it won't be so, because even families will be divided. Every family, Lutheran families too, conservative families. There's division among us, isn't there? When someone doesn't agree with you on the interpretation of a Bible passage, what do you say to yourself? Your flesh says, if that joker would just interpret it as I do, everything would be all right. And there's division, isn't there? Dr. Arndt rightly says, with reference to that passage about putting division on earth, it doesn't just mean that the pagans will be divided from the Christians, but that even among Christians, there is division. Their flesh rises up when someone doesn't agree with them. And what is the only answer when that takes place? And there are thousands of divisions on this campus, aren't there? They occur daily. The only answer is repentance, isn't it? The only answer is repentance. God has not promised us a synod that will always be serene. He has not promised you a family that will always be serene. He has not promised you a marriage that will always be serene. But he has promised to give you a heart that is sprinkled with pure water and a conscience which is free from blame through the blood of Jesus Christ. That's all you need. And when you have that, then you can do what he says in our text, and let us make a bold confession of our faith before the world. And so may God in his mercy grant each one of us, the true Holy of Holies, a conscience free from blame and a heart which is at peace with our Lord Jesus Christ, who is the great priest who once and for all entered the most holy place and made peace between God and man. For Jesus' sake we ask it. Amen.